All right, we're going to begin here just to review a little bit at the bottom of Chavav and Bet that the Gemara was discussing the Amoraim's approach, what we thought was to the Halacha de Moshe Misinai of Rabbi Yochanan. It's possible also that they are even saying this within the position of Reish Lakish, the Rosh, gives such an explanation as to when the Halacha de Moshe Misinai discussed Ma'ot, monies, how far does that extend? What does it mean that money or ma'ot stumot have a din the nidava, according to Reish Lakish, which is declared by the pasuk, the motar of a neder goes the nidava. So what is considered to be ma'ot and what is not considered to be ma'ot? That's the question. We had different approaches to, first of all, this discussion, whether ma'ot means money or items that you can monetize immediately. The longer it takes for you to monetize it, the less likely it is to be deemed money or ma'ot. That's one approach that is taken by the Rishonim. The other approach that the Rabbeinu Tam gives over here is that we're afraid that the more time that the animal stays with you or the object stays with you, the more likely you are to be mekadeshit for its particular purpose. And therefore, the more time it will take you to monetize it, the more likely that you've already designated what this item is for a korban. The Gemara brought from Avuna Amarav, then from Rav Nachum, then from Rav Yitzchak, certain qualifications as to what is considered ma'ot and what is not considered to be ma'ot. The Gemara then concluded, what's the reasoning behind all of these Amoraim? The answer is because ma'ot gemirin la. We learn out from the Halacha de Moshe Misinai that we're talking about money. And they're trying to define what is money over here. Then the Gemara says, okay, if that's the case, then what are you going to do about birds? Birds seemingly should be similar to behemot. Behemot's mimot, where we say they are considered to be mifurashot and not considered to be money equivalents or ma'ot. So too, the same should be true by ofot. We should say ma'ot v'lo ofot, money and not birds. Where it says, and if you say yes, that's the case, I have a problem. And that is, Damar Rav Chista, Eina kinim mitparshot ela bilikichat balim ibasiat kohen. That by the birds, there's only 2 points of definition to determine whether they are a chatat, an olah, or what type of korban they are. It's when the balim purchase it, or when the kohen puts it on the mizbeach. In the interim, if the balim never decided what they are, there's no way to designate these birds as to what they are. So according to the Mifarish, continuing his explanation, he says, fact is that those birds are like stumot, because if one of those birds flies away, you could just take another bird and replace him, because you don't have to worry whether it was an olah or a chatat, you don't have to worry about what flew away, because there was no determination. And it makes us as if these birds are stumot. And why is it that these birds are determined to be stumot? If we would say ma'ot below ofot. That's the way the Mefarish reads the question. According to the Balei HaTosafot, the two explanations that we have from the Balei HaTosafot, then the question here is the time. The time that it will elapse between the time that he purchases the birds and the time that he gives them to the Kohen. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, that extent of time makes it that the likelihood is that these objects have been defined. The guy is going to call it an olah, call it a chatat because of the duration of time that is elapsing, like we saw by the other objects here that the Amoraim say are not considered to be ma'ot because of the time lapse before a person monetizes them and brings them to the Qurban. Or the same thing, these should not be considered money equivalents because it takes so long to define them and to utilize them for their purpose as an olah chatat. They should not be considered ma'ot. And according to the Rabbeinu Tam's understanding that the problem here is that the tearing or the delay will allow you to define the animal in the interim, and that's what we worry about. As Tosfot points out over here, that's not really a worry in this instance, because the Gzirat HaKatuv is, you can only do it at the time of purchase or at the time of the Asiyat HaKohen. So then what are we worried about in this instance? So Tosfot gives an answer which he himself calls a dochak later on, so even though the owners cannot define which one will be a chatat and which one will be an olah after the purchase before the asiyat ha-kohen, he can't create a mixture here. He can't create an olah and a chatat. Even though he can't define which one is which, he can now define this grouping as a chatat olah mixture, and that will cause the problem. And that's what we're worried about in this period of tearing, based on what we said before. Yet, Rav Chista's statement doesn't indicate anything of the sort. Rav Chista seems to indicate that it doesn't matter, that they are considered to be stumot all the way through, and we're not chushesh for such an issue. Now, the Baalei Tosafot say that they don't think that this is the way to read the Gemara, and the question, according to that, Rav Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam, doesn't make so much sense, because if that's the case, why bring Rav Chista as the proof? You can bring many, many Mishnayot in Kinim that say that the Asiyat HaKohen defines the animals as an Olah and a Chatat. And over here, you're worried, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that the Baalim did something in the interim which would prevent the Kohen from exercising that right to make it into an Olah Chatat, because they thought something or they did something in between, even though it has no effect in terms of making it into an Olah Chatat, but has enough of an effect to make it a Tarovit so that the Kohen can't exercise that right at the time of the Siyah. You don't need Rav Chista for that. You could get that from many Mishnayot in Kinim, which say that the Kohen has the right to decide between a Chatat and Olah, and we don't go back and check with the Baalim if they thought or said something in the interim. And therefore, Tosafot rejects that being the explanation of the question here, and then moves on to an explanation from the Ram, which suggests that what the question is, according to Rav Chista, is an extrapolation. That the question is as such that this is true by a fault, and so too it must be true by Behema, by Svar Shel Korot, by Naska, by Ma'ot. All of these items should be just like a fault. And that's the Gemara's question. Once we've established the fact that these items are stumot during this period of time between Lekicha and Asiyat HaKohen, so too that should be true by these other items. But Tosafot rejects that for a different reason, which is Mikom Makom. There's no reason to compare items like piles of boards and naska to kinin, because kinin are a particular type of item, which is something that's ra'ui lahakrava. So if you want to compare things, you can only compare things that are ra'ui lahakrava. Other items don't make sense to compare to the case of a fold, and therefore why would you extrapolate the din of kinim to these other items? And even by behemoth, it would only be behemoth that are ru'uyot to be for a kurban nazir, not stam, sirim, or parim that are ru'uyot mizbeach, because again, they don't look like the kinim over here, which are ru'uyim for whatever kurban they are going to be utilized for. So what the Ram suggests is that, just like the Baalim have no right to define the items between the time of the Kicha to the time of Asiyat HaKohen, that should be true by other items as well. If that's the case, we shouldn't have to worry about anything happening in the interim, even if there is a tearing or a delay. Again, Tosfot rejects that by saying that the comparison or the limud doesn't seem to be straightforward, and therefore Tosfot in the end leans towards the perish of the Mifaresh over here, that the issue with regards to the question of Rav Chista is, they seem, these birds, according to Rav Chista's din, seem to be stumot between the time of the Lekicha Debal until the Asiyat HaKohen, stumot, not only in that the Baalim cannot define them, but stumot in all senses of the word stumot. And if they were deemed to be ma'ot stumot, and therefore that's the question that is being brought by Rav Shimi Ba'ashi from the words of Rav Chista, is if these are deemed to be ma'ot stumot, it seems to be that it's not ma'ot velo ofot. Ofot seems to have a din just like ma'ot stumot, and so should be true by these other items. So that is the nature of the question brought here from the issue of the kinin. And the Gemara says, why is it that the ofot are considered to be stumot and not like either one of those three interpretations that we just brought, which would suggest that they should be mifurashot, or they should at least not be under the rubric of this Malacha de Moshe Sinai, than ma'ot stumot. So that was the question that was posed by Rav Shimi Ba'ashi to Rav Papa. So Amarle, Rav Papa responds to him and says, Veli tamech. According to your logic, ha, detnan Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, what are you going to do about the Mishnah of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? She Rabbi Shimon Omer, hevi shlosh behemot, velo perish. And he did not explain what these three animals were for. Haruya l'chatat, tikrav chatat. That which is ro'oi for a chatat should be brought as a chatat. Le'ola, tikrav ola. That one which is ro'oya to be an ola should be brought as an ola. Lishlamim, the animal that was ro'oi to be the shlamim, tikrav shlamim. Amai, why should that be the case? Hamart, behema, lav kimifureshet damya. You just explained to us that a behema is not mifureshet. The way that the Mifarish continues his explanation is, the question by the Ofot was, well, Ofot are deemed to be stumot for that duration of time after the Balim buy them, before the Kohen determines whether it's an Ola or a Chatat. So since they are deemed to be stumot, what in essence you are saying is, Ofot are equal to Ma'ot, or Ofot are stumot. If that's the case, Behema should have the same din, just like ofot or stumot, so too behemot should be stumot. And over here, by the Mishnah and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, a person separates out three animals, does not define what they are, yet the Mishnah over there says, one of them is for an ola, one of them is for chatat, one of them is a shlamim, and that we saw earlier in the Mifarish, that the animals are self-evident as to which korban they belong to, because the nekeva will be for the chatat, the ayo ben shtei shanim will be for the shlamim, or the el nazir, and the younger male will be for the ola. So it'll be obvious from there which they are, and we deem them to be mifureshot. So, if you're telling me that ofot are deemed to be stumot based on your question, then why, by Rav Shimon Gamliel, does he not say the same thing by behemot? Or, according to the way that the Baalei HaTosafot have explained it until now, if duration is what causes the problem, and you're telling me that's no longer true, because by Ofot we have a long duration, and we do not consider them to be Mifurashot, then I'll come over here by the Behemot, do we consider them to be Mifurashot? Obviously, because there's a time lapse. Either because you cannot monetize them right away, or because they'll be tearing around and you might declare them into the particular Qurban, and that's why you would determine them to be Mifurashot. But that's in contradiction to what you brought from the Ofot. Meaning that if we accept your criticism, Rav Shimi Barashi, from Rav Chista's statement by the Kinim, if we accept what you're saying is correct, then if we extrapolate that, the Mishnah by Rav Shimon Gamliel does not make sense. Because it's in contradiction to that which we saw by the Kinim. Or the Rosh suggests over here that the question from Rav Shimon Gamliel is that you said before that the Balim only have the right to define the birds at the time of purchase. So why here by the Behema, even though the Balim didn't define them at the time of purchase, we still deem them to be defined at a later point in time? Why is that? It should be that the Balim should only be able to define them at the time of purchase, and now we're beyond the point of purchase, and therefore they should not be considered Mifurashim. As it says here, V'kevin shlo perish chatat v'olav shlamim, how could they be mukrav without actually designating them or delineating them for their particular purpose? So it must be, when we say they are mifurashim, it doesn't mean literally that they were articulated and stated to be which korban, but rather if we can intuitively know which korban is which, then that's considered to be mifurashim. Ule'idach perish, which means the Rabbeinu Tam's explanation over here, that you said that there's no breira, doesn't help you only by the time of Freshah or the time of Asiyah. We have a case here where Bishimel says, "M'lakach stam lo perish da koin makriv aruoy lechatat chatat ve'en tzarich lefarish." And even though they didn't say anything at the time of purchase, but mistoma samchinim ahasha balim karu lohem shemot achar Freshah. We assume that the balim did designate them and call them whatever particular korban they are after that point in time. As you see, that is not equivalent, or it's not the same as the ofot. Now, even though the case of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel over here is different than, at least according to Tosafot, what was brought in the Gemara before in the statement of Amar Avuna Marav, over there the Mifresh said it's exactly this case of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and therefore the question's understandable. But according to the Baalei Tosafot, the case by Rabbi Avuna Marav was a case of three animals that were not re'uyot l'nazir, but they were re'uyot l'mizbeach. Over here, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is talking about three behemot. They're not only ruyot the mizbeach, but also ruyot the nazir. And therefore, maybe there should be a difference in the cases. So Tosafot over here says that im tomar midami, how can you compare these cases? V'yesh lamar, When you say by emot that the gimel parim chashive k'tzat k'mufurashim l'chol ha'pachot k'mufurashim b'tarovet, so then they're considered to be mufurashim within a mixture. Hachad Rabbi Shimon Necha d'choshev gimel v'yot aruim l'nazir mufurashim l'gamrei. And it makes sense. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel over here will say that the three animals that are ruuyot l'nazirut will also be k'mufurashim. But if you say that three animals that are not ruuyot l'nazir have a din like stumim and stumim l'gamrei, lo avan lan the mechshav the gamrei k'mifurashim. Then, for that reason, you wouldn't consider them to be mifurashim the gamrei over here. Or basically, what Tosafot is suggesting is that it would open up too wide a gap. How could it be that if you have three animals that are ruiyot the mizbeach, not the nazir, they are mstumot? Then all of a sudden, three animals that are ruiyot the nazir become mifurashim the gamrei. That's too big a gap in their positions. And therefore, Tosafot thinks that only if you would think that behemot that ruyot and mizbeach are deemed to be mufurashim, would you also say by behemot that ruyot and nizirut that they are deemed to be mufurashim, because those positions then are much closer and would be more palatable. So then Rav Shimon bar Ashi answers him, hatam v'lakach vasa amar rachmano. Now there are two girsaot over here. It seems like the Faresh over here suggests that this Amalei is a continuation of the response of Rav Papa to Rav Shimi Bashi. And probably instead of Amalei, it should probably read Ella, because then it would make sense that it's a continuation of that statement of Rav Papa. So if you say over here that the girsa is Ella Hotam Velakach Vasa, then this is a continuation of Rav Papa's statement and Rav Papa's answer. Rav Papa's answer is that this is problematic for you, but rather what you must say is, and then he gives the answer, which is that it's a gzirat ha-ketuv. On the other hand, the way that we have the girsa, it's amar lei, this is Rav Shimi bar Ashi responding to Rav Papa and saying, hotam lakach vasa amar rachmana. By the ofot, there are defined times when you can determine which bird is the ola, which one's the chatat, iblikichat balim, Ibe asiyat kohen, that either at the time that the kohen buy it, or the time that the kohen does it, hachanami. So to over here, mi matzit amart, are you going to say, hadain chatat tikrav ola? How are you going to say that the chatat should end up as an ola? Hacha nekeva, hacha zachar. Over here, one is a female, meaning the chatat is a female, and the ola is a zachar. If you say that the girsa here is Ella, then this is the continuation of Rav Papa's answer to Rav Shimi bar Ashi, and the answer basically is that by ofot it's gzeret ha-ketuv. That's why they are stumot, because the pasuk only allows you to make a determination at these two pivot points, at these thresholds, when you buy it, when the kohen does it, and that's why they're stumot. The behemot, why don't they have the same rule? Because the behemot here are self-evident, and so it's clear which one belongs to which korban, and therefore they're different than the ofot. That would be if you think this is the continuation of a Papa statement. If you think this is Rav Shimi bar Ashi coming back to Rav Papa, then he'll say, listen, by the Ofot, they are deemed to be stumot because of Lakach V'asa, which is a Gzerat HaKatuv. Now, you're telling me once I've determined that Ofot are deemed to be stumot, Behemot should also be stumot. Says Ein Ochanami, Behemot should be stumot, except in this case, it's self-evident. There's no way to say there's stumot over here because they are as if mifurashot. There's no other way to look at these behemot because it's so obvious which behemah belongs to which kurban. And that would be his answer. And the Rosh explains here that the answer is that by ofot, you can't tell which one's the ola, which one's the chatat. There's no defining feature in the ofot. And that's why the gzeirut ha-ketuv of lakach v'asa applies over here. But behemot, where the features or the characteristics of the behemah could tell you the information as to which korban is delineated or designated for, over there, the gzeret ha-ketuv lakach vasa is not relevant. And therefore, since the animals are self-evident, you don't have this chashash of their beinu tam that you're going to define them after time, or that you don't have the issue of the rosh, that you need kriyat shem on the animals. Where's the kriyat shem? Because these things are so self-evident that none of this is a chashash, none of this is an issue, and it's all deemed to be mifurashim from the beginning. It's not because of the chashash, but rather because of the nature of these animals. Now, if that's the case, you also now have to say, what is the conclusion of the Gemara? If it's Rav Shimi Ba'ashi responding, that means in the end, Rav Shimi Ba'ashi basically disagrees and says that what the Amoraim said before, Rav Huna Marav, Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, is incorrect. And Ofot are deemed to be Stumot. And that would mean not only are Ofot Stumot, but so is Abahema Tmima. So is Nascha, and so is Savar Shel Korot. All of those items would be deemed to be Stumot, according to that conclusion. That's one way to read this. So if you think that the Amalei here is Rav Shimi Ba'ashi asking Rav Papa again, that means that the sugya here is left unresolved, and then the question is, what do you do with that lack of resolution? Or, the other way to read it is, yes, Ofot are considered to be Stumot, but that's a unique din by Ofot. That still will not, the Gzerat HaKatuv, V'lakach V'asa, but that will not influence our understanding of what Ma'ot are with regards to the Behemat Mima, with regards to the Naskal, and with regards to the Svar Shel Korot. So, according to the Mifaresh, where this is all a part of Rav Papa's response to Rav Shimi Ba'ashi, then Rav Papa has soundly put away this question of Shimi Ba'ashi, and whatever we said in the beginning, the sugya still stands. But there's the qualifications of Moraim, which is Ma'ot Velo Be'ema, and then so on and so forth with regards to Nascha and Svar Shel Korot. So you have two approaches in the Rishonim as to what the conclusion of the Gemara is at this point. And now, Meitiv Rav Amnuna. Rav Amnuna asked, Umi Amrinan Be'ema Balat Mum Kistuma Damya? If you go back, Rav Nachman came to qualify that statement of Rav Huna Marav, who said that Behemot are Kimirfurashot. And then Rav Nachman came along and said, that's only by Behemot, Tmimot, but not by Behemot that are Balat Mum. So now Rav Amnuna is coming and saying, is that really true? Is that really true that a Balat Mum has a din like a Stuma? Tashma. It's a continuation of the question of Rav Amnuna. It's the equivalent of Vahatnan. Don't we have a Mishnah that seems to indicate otherwise? But here it's a support for this question of Rav Amnuna. We have this Mishnah that seemingly indicates otherwise to what Rav Nachman said, which is, Ketzad Amru Aish Megaleach Al Nizirut Aviv. When can a person use the monies that his father separated out for his Nizirut? When can a child utilize those monies? Now, as far as the Girsa is concerned here, there are two Nuschot that are found in the Mishnah on Lamed Amud Aleph. And obviously, whatever the Girsa you think is in the Mishnah on Lamed Amud Aleph would also affect how it's written over here. You can see already the Bach is changing the girsa. You can see in the Mefarish also that he has a slightly different girsa. And the Machloket lands the girsa in opposing views as to when one can or cannot utilize a pool of money that was set aside by a father for his Nizirut. The child, his son, also takes on another Nizirut and he wants to utilize those monies. When it works and when it doesn't work, it's subject to machloket based on the girsa. There are two scenarios. There is one scenario in which the son takes a nizirut while his father is alive. There's another scenario where after the death of the father, where the motas tumot, the son takes a neder nizirut to utilize the monies of the father. So according to the Mifaresh, the Gemara over here skips. It basically says, Ketzad Amru Aish Migaleach Al Nizirut Aviv. What's the case where a person can utilize the monies of his father? And then, dot, 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 Ein Zeh Migaleach Al Ma'ot Aviv. Then he cannot do it. And the Braita here now is explaining the case of when he cannot do it. And what is that? That's the case, Merharini Nazir Menachah Galeach Ma'ot Abba. If he says, I'm a Nazir on the condition that I will be a Nazir, my father would pass away with his money that he designated for Nizirut. Hayalo motz tumot, ipludin dava. If the monies were undefined, they go to the olot. Haytalo behemim fureshet. If the animals were already designated or the monies were delineated as to which korban, chatat tamot. The chatat goes to the death. Ola tikrav ola, shlamim ikrivu shlamim. So you can't utilize them for the Nizirut. That is the girsa of the Mifaresh, that only if you take a neder nizirut in the lifetime of your father, can you use the monies that your father segregated or designated for nizirut? But after your father's death, those monies cannot be taken by the son to be utilized for nizirut because They're not his. They don't come to him be Yerusha, because they belong to Hekdesh, or they're already designated towards Hekdesh, and therefore he can't utilize them. That's the way the Mefaresh reads it. The Balei Tosafot, Rosh, and others read it just the opposite, that in a case where the father passed away, the son can use the monies towards his Nizirut. On the other hand, if he was a Nazir simultaneously with his father, during the lifetime of his father, he cannot use those monies or utilize those monies during the lifetime of his father because he was obligated independently to bring his own korbanot, and he can't utilize his father's obligations or monies that were towards that obligation to discharge his obligation. So in the end, the way that you read the Tosefta is not relevant to the question of the Gemara, but you should just know that the Tosefta has two ways to be read, which is, when is a son allowed to use his father's money, and when is he not allowed to use his father's money? The two scenarios are one where he has a Nizirut simultaneously with his father. The other case where he only takes Nizirut after the death of his father. According to the Mefaresh, the case where you can use them is when you are Nizirim simultaneously. If one does it after their father's death, that does not work. On the other hand, the Balei Tosafot are just the opposite. That in a case where they are simultaneous Nizirim, you cannot use it because you're independently obligated. But after the father passes away, then you could use it or utilize it. And obviously that will impact on the girsa that is in the Gemara. But now the question of the Gemara is, my love, afilu balat mum. That the animals here that we're speaking about that are for ola chatat shlamim, that those are even animals that are balat mumim. The Gemara says, lo, tmima. No, these are only animals that are tmimim. So David rightfully asks, what's the Gemara's hava mean over here? Why would you even think that they are behemot, balot, mum? It's talking about things that are ending up on the mizbeach that are korbanot. The answer is, what otherwise in Shas would be called, liflog velitne bididei. You could have made a finer distinction within the Tosefta, which is, aval balot mum kustum adamya. A balot mum has the din of a satum, or ma'ot stumot. My iria ma'ot. Then why are the two scenarios which the Tosefta brings is a case where there are ma'ot stumot and a case where there are behemot mifurashot. Lema haitalo behemat balatmum yipluda nidava. The finer distinction that you could have made in the Tosefta, which would have taught us more information, is in a case where there are animals that are bali mumin, they have a din of ma'ot stumot, and therefore they'll yipluda nidava. If they are behemot, tmimot, mifurashot, then they go to whatever designation they have. The chatai will be to the death. The olan shlamim will be designated to be brought as a lotun shlamim. But what you see from here is that the bright or the Tosefta could have made a finer distinction between behemat tmima and behemat baladmum. Instead, the Tosefta makes a distinction between a behemat tmima and ma'ot, stumot, implying that balat mum is included in the same category as bema tmima. The Gemara says, no, hochanami, you're right, that is the case, but balat mum lamai kedisha, what is the sanctity of an animal that's a bal mum? L'dami, that's for its monetary value. Dami hainu ma'ot, that's exactly what the Tosefta says, ma'ot stumot. And a behema, balat mum, is deemed to be ma'ot. And so ma'ot incorporates or encompasses within it not only money, but also balat mum, or behema balat mum, which is also ma'ot, or is also equal or for its value. But Tosfos does point out that this same question that we're asking with regards to the Tosefta was the bright that they were about to bring could be asked about our Mishnah. Why does our Mishnah distinguish between ma'ot and behemot? And the answer is that by our Mishnah, the context or the theme of the Mishnah beforehand was ma'ot. And therefore, to mention ma'ot is just a continuation of what it was discussing. On the other hand, on Lamed Amud Aleph, or the bright that we're going to bring in a minute, in those cases, ma'ot were not the context in which it's brought, and therefore it would have made more sense to keep them on a single topic, liflog v'litnei b'didei, to keep it all about behema and not about ma'ot. Meitiv Rava. So Rava brings a braita. This braita will go all the way to the Mishnah on Chavchat Amud Aleph. The basic gist of the braita is that by the Korbanei Chatat in the Torah, in Vayikra Dalid, there are a number of chatot that are brought. One is what's called the Seir Nasi. That is, if the leader of Klal Yisrael has a chet where he needs to bring a chatat, he brings a seir. There is the par kohen gadol, and then there is what's called chatat yachid. So these are different chataot that are mentioned in that parshia, perek dalet in the Torah. By the korban yachid, there's two different animals that can be brought. It could be a kivsa or a seira. Within those cases, there are three times the word korbano appears, and in each case, it's extraneous, or you could have read the pasuk without the word. Therefore, they're going to be doresh from the word korbano, that certain mi'utim, and that's what the braita is about. The question from the braita is going to be the same question we just asked from this previous tosefta, which is that the braita seems to talk about behemot, tmimot, but does end. Seemingly, that should include behemat balat mum as well. You'll tell me, behemat tmima makes more sense. You're not a balat mum. And again, the same question of the Gemara is, then why didn't the braita here distinguish between behemat balat mum and behemat tmima versus distinguishing between ma'ot and behemat tmima? The answer of the Gemara also will be exactly the same. First of all, we have to go through the braita in order to get there. Meitiv Rava. Rava challenged this assumption that the behemat balat mum is deemed to be ma'ot. Korbano. Be korbano hu yotzei, veinu yotzei be korban aviv. He must use his own korban. He may not use the korban of his father. Now, first of all, this is a very interesting question in general, because we know that one of the chamesh chataot ha-metot is a chatat shemetu ba'aleha, a chatat whose owner has passed away. Well, if the son is trying to use his father's chatat, and his father had passed away, then this is a chatat shemetu balel. So what you have to suggest over here is that the havamina is that ben mimalei makom aviv, that a son fills in or stands in the shoes of his father. Since that is the case, it's as if the father didn't pass away with regards to the son. With regards to any other person, it's as if they passed away, but with regards to the son, we might see the son as an extension of the father, and therefore maybe the son could use the chatat of his father after the father passed away. So yochalo yeitzei b'kurbano shel aviv, sheifrish min hakala l'chamura u min hachamura l'kala. You would think that maybe the only instance where the son cannot use the father's chatat is if they're not the same type of chatat. There are chataot that are more kalot, that are lighter or less stringent, and we have chataot, chamurot, which are more stringent type of chatot. The way the Mefarish distinguishes is that a chatat that is on the lighter side is a kurban olev yored. Kurban which moves up and down based on your economic standing. And he considers that to be a chatat that is kala. And then a chatat chamura is a chatat that is a chatat kavua. That's one way to explain this difference. The other way to explain it is that a chatat that comes for a chiyuv karet, like dam and chaylev, that is a chatat kala. A chatat that comes from like a chiyu mitat beitin, like chilul shabbat and avodah zarah, those type of chataot are considered to be chataot chamurot. But what you would think is, the reason the son cannot use his father's chatat is because they don't match. They're not the same level of chatat. Aval, yotzei b'kurban shifish aviv min hakala l'kala, o min hachamura l'chamura. But, if their chataot matched, meaning that they needed the same type of chatat, in Ochanami, maybe you would be able to do it. Tamalomar, korbano. Korbano. Bikorbano hu yotzei, vein yotzei bikorbano shel aviv. You can only use the korban, your korban, and not the korban of your father. Yochol lo yotzei bikorban aviv, bimeima shifrish, afilu min hakala l'kala, min hachamura l'chamura. We just said this, that maybe the case is that even when they're the same type of korban, you may not be able to use them. Shariyan adam megaleach al behemat aviv benizirut. Because a child may not use his father's korbanot from a nizirut. Aval yotzei b'maot shifrish aviv. Afilu min hachumura l'kala. Okay, so that, the reason you would say this is because when the father already segregated and delineated the animals, the son may not use those animals for his neder nizirut. So just like we have other places a paradigm like this, that a son may not use the father's behemot, so too by chatat, you would say the same thing. He can't use his father's animals that he segregated to be a chatat. Aval, but maybe yotzei b'maot shifrish aviv. Maybe he will be able to use the money that his father set aside. afilu min ha-chumura la-kala min ha-kala la-chumura, whether they match or don't match in their korbanot, she'adam migaleach amot avi b'nizirut. Because a son can use his father's money when it comes to a z'nizirut, b'zman she'in stumim, v'lo b'zman she'in mufurashim. As long as they are non-delineated, non-designated monies, then the son can utilize them. But if they are delineated or specified as to which of the monies or what these monies will go towards, then the son may not use it. So the same thing over here. Looking at that paradigm by the Nazir, and again, that goes back to the Machlok and the Tosefta, which is exactly the case where the son can use the father's money. But the fact is that the son can use the father's money when they are mot, stumot, in order to discharge his obligation with regards to the Korbanot and Nazir. So too over here, why don't we say, yes, we agree that he cannot use his father's animals that he left over for his Korbanot, but the son should be able to use the monies that the father designated towards Korbanot without any definition. He should be able to use them similar to what happens by the Nazir, that the Mot Stumot the son can use for his Nizirut. Tamad Omar, Korbanot. B'Korbanot Yotzei, Vein Yotzei B'Korban Aviv. So that's again the third time the word Korbanot appears, to exclude this instance as well. So the first Korbanot was to exclude a case where he's trying to use his father's chatat. The Gemara says, okay, maybe that's only true where the chataot don't match. But if the chataot match, maybe you should be able to use it. Again, Korbanot says, no, you cannot use your father's korban, even if they match. The Gemara says, okay, that's maybe true by animals, behemot. Maybe that's the case, because they've already been designated as a korban, and therefore you can't use them. But by a ma'ot, maybe he can use his father's ma'ot in order to discharge his obligation, similar to by Nazir. Just like by Nazir, you're not allowed to use the father's behemot for the son's Nazirut, but he is allowed to use the father's money towards his Nazirut. And again, in the case that each of the different Rishonim explained the Tosefta, whether that's when they were Nazirim simultaneously or when he took on the Nazirut after his father's death, each according to its own interpretation. But you can't use the Ma'ot. Talmud Omar is Korbanot, that you may not do that. B'Korbanot Yotzei Min Yotzei B'Korban Aviv. Yochol Yotzei B'Ma'ot Shifrish Min HaKala La Kala U'Min HaChamura La Chamura. Aval Yotzei B'Korban Shifrish La'atzmo Min HaKala La Chamura Min HaChamura La Kala. So maybe you would think this is only a problem when it's between persons, when the father is Morish, the animal, or the Ma'ot to the child, he may not switch this chatat for his benefit. But maybe when it's his own chatat, he segregated out, delineated a chatat for whatever chait it is. The son himself was Mafrish's own korban, and now he wants to change his mind, he wants to use it for a different chait. So you would think maybe he can do that. The only problem so far has been this intergenerational chatat, or monies that pass down where we said it doesn't work. What happens if it's he himself who designated something as a chatat, and then he wants to use it for something else? Talmud Omar, korbano, al chatato, ad shehei korbano, l'shem chatato. Until the korban is brought for the particular chait. So here, as the Balei HaTosfot will point out over here, this is not the focus on the word korbano, but rather, al chatato. Al chatato means on the chait that he specified. So now, what the Gemara Braita is suggesting is that even within a single person, if he designated a korban for a particular purpose, he cannot then utilize that same korban and switch it for a different purpose, even though it's him himself. So locho lo yitzei behema shifrish latzmo min hakala lakala o min hachamura lachamura, or afilo kala lachamura o chamura lakala, shukein, imfrish behema lachelev, evia ladam o ladam bevia lachelev, shelo ma'al velo kiper. So I would think, at this point, first of all, you cannot utilize a korban that you segregated or separated out for a different chait. That's true from a kala to a chamura, chamura to kala. And even within the same level of korban, they're both kalot, or they're both chamurot, I would also say that you may not use the animal. Why? Because im yifrish beima lachelef, if he's mafrish a chatat for chelef, vevi al adam, and then instead he brings it for dam, O'al Adam, he separated it out for a sin of eating blood. Ve'vi ala chelev, and then instead he brings it for a sin of eating chelev. Sharei lo ma'al. Over there, he did not misappropriate the hekdesh. Because it was at first the chatat, And it still is a chatat. You never took the money away from Hekdesh. You never misappropriated the Hekdesh. There is no milah over there. Therefore, velo kiper. You're not going to get kapara because you never changed the status of the animal by making it chulin or making it yours.
And the way that Tosafot and the Rosh explain it, that which we know by shogeg will then be applicable by mezid. If you can't exchange it b'shogeg, then you certainly can't exchange it b'mezid.
Shaval, you'd say b'ma'ot she'frish latzmo, min ha'kala l'kala min ha'chamura l'chamura, min ha'chamura l'kala min ha'kala l'chamura. But maybe it will be the case that when it's talking about money, there you could change the nature of the korban. Shekein, im y'frish latzmo ma'ot min ha'chelev, or ala chelev, ve'vi ala dam, if he separated out monies to pay for a chatat for eating chelev, and instead he uses it for a dam, or vice versa, he separates them out for the dam and uses it for chelev, shrei ma'al. Now, you misappropriated the monies of Hekdesh. Because when you took those monies to purchase the other korban, you basically misappropriated monies of Hekdesh towards your own benefit, your own purposes. As far as Hekdesh is concerned, it's a chatat here, and this money belongs as a chatat. You take that money and then go purchase another animal, which you're going to make into a chatat, or you're going to utilize as a chatat, that's misappropriation of Hekdesh. You have an obligation to bring a chatat. Now you're discharging that obligation with the money of Hekdesh. You are misappropriating Hekdesh. Sherei ma'al. There is mi'ilah. And since there is mi'ilah, vikiper, you get kapara. Why when you do mi'ilah do you get kapara? Because there's a rule by mi'ilah. When you misappropriate Hekdesh, Hekdesh then becomes chulin. You profane that money, and it becomes chulin, and now you can do with it as you like. Now you'll be chayav and mi'ilah, which means you have to bring a korban mi'ilah, and you have to pay 1 1/5 times that money back into Hekdesh. But these monies themselves that you misappropriated are chulin. So now you are successful. You misappropriated the monies of Hekdesh, brought the other korban. Once you misappropriated them, they became your money. It's chulin. You profaned them. Now when you buy the second animal, it should work, because now you used your money, chulin money, to buy your animal, and it should work. So based on that, the Gemara says, we would have thought that the only time it doesn't work is when you're dealing with animals. Because animals, there's no mi'ilah. When you change the animal from this chatat to another chatat, it never leaves the hands of Hekdesh. Then when you change monies, then it does leave the hands of Hekdesh, comes into your hands, there's mi'ilah, comes chulin. As Tosafot points out, that is only true when you do it b'shogeg. When someone violates mi'ilah b'shogeg, it's profaned and becomes chulin. If you do it b'mezid intentionally, it does not work. And therefore, Tosafot says this din would only have been in a case of shogeg, not in a case of mezid. You would have thought that that works. Tam lomar, al chatato. Al chatato, adje korbano l'shem chato or l'shem chatato. That the pasuk tells you that you can only utilize the monies or the animal for the particular chait that it was designated, and you cannot change that allocation, you cannot change that designation, despite the fact that you might have been mo'el in the money, you still, the monies have to be utilized for that particular korban, that particular chatat, and you cannot change their utilization, their designation, even though technically, because you were mo'el, you should have been able to do it and be mechaper with it. Nevertheless, the pasuk tells you it does not work. Now, according to the Mefarish, that means that the pasuk now tells you that it doesn't work, not bishogeg, not bimezid. On the other hand, the way the Balei HaTosafot learn over here, even though it works by shogeg, which should have told you that it would work by mezid, the pasuk comes and tells you that it does not work by mezid over here, despite the fact that it works by shogeg. And if you did it bishogeg, it would work. Although, in the Gemara and Kretov, the Gemara there seems to indicate that even though it might work, l'chatchila, you shouldn't do it, and therefore maybe the Isra of this Pasuk equally applies to Mezid as it does to Shogeg, but it's a middle ground between the Mefarish and Tosafot, which is that, yes, it does work by Shogeg, but it is a sur to do it in that manner, the Isra that is brought by this Pasuk of Chatato, and as Tosafot points out over here, the word Chatato is used twice to teach us two different dinim, which happens in different places in Shas. And Tosafot also notes that the word chatato over here comes from a different pasuk than that we're quoting, which is chiper alav hakohen al chatato. And he does not have the word korbano here at all. So now, ktani mihat, now we finally get to the question from the Braita, which is behemah. The Braita mentioned that the comparison to Nazir is that by Nazir, Behema is deemed to be Mifureshet, whereas the Ma'ot are deemed to be Stumot. So my love, Afilu Balat Mum, when it says a Behema is deemed to be Mifureshet, maybe it's not just by a Behemat Mima, it's also by a Behemat Balat Mum. And again, you'll ask the question, why? Over here, it looks and seems obvious that we're talking about a Behema Tmima. Yet, lo, Tmima. No, we're just saying it's talking about a Behema Tmima. Aval, Balma Tmum, Mai. So what's the din of a Balma Tmum? Kistuma Damya. It's just like Maot Stumot. So then again, Lip Logolit Neid Bididei. Within the Braita, the two scenarios should be Behema Tmima. And the other scenario should be Behemat Balatmum, not Behemat Mima and Ma'ot. Those are far apart. You could have made a much finer distinction by my area, the Tani Ma'ot, Shifri Shaviv, Litnei Balatmum. Why do you have to say that money that his father segregated? It could have been a Balatmum that his father segregated. Exact same question as the previous Breita and same answer. Hachanami, you're right. That is the case. My Chazio, what is the Behemat Balatmum Ro'oi for? Ledomi, for money. Domi, I know Ma'ot. Money is money. So Balat Mum, money, that's what the Breita is talking about. They're the same thing. They're synonymous. And since they're interchangeable or synonymous, when it says Ma'ot, it also means Beimat, Balat Mum, and therefore we do not have a question from the first Breita or the second Breita on this sheet of Rav Nachman that says that a Beimat Balat Mum is not equivalent to a Beimat Mima. Beimat Mima is Mifureshet, whereas Beimat Balat Mum is considered to be like Ma'ot Stumot. Okay, we're going to stop over here by the Mishnah on Kafchet Amud Aleph.